Good morning. We wish to welcome each and every one to the house of the Lord. We trust that our service this morning might be pleasing to our Lord and our Redeemer. We not only welcome you here, but we must welcome you in the name of Jesus Christ, as we're commanded to do all things in His name. I think that perhaps some of the young people prayed for snow for today. The Lord answers prayers, doesn't He? What a blessing it is to be here among the Lord's people. We have some visitors, and we wish to extend you a warm welcome. We would like to see you back at your convenience. I wanted to thank Brenda and the choir for all the participation, and from Sister Vita and all of the members. It is a sacrifice at times. But as we've discussed in class, that's the way we show the Lord that we love Him. It's through some sort of sacrifice, is it not? But yet it is nothing for what our Lord and our Redeemer did for us. You're very familiar with the prophet Isaiah and the writings thereof. But let us hear it one more time. Therefore the Lord Himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and shall bear a son, and shall call His name Emmanuel. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon His shoulder, and His name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Would you turn with us, please, to hymn number 148.
Our Heavenly Father, we come to you grateful for the gift of life and sustaining our life to this point. And it is that we recognize at this time of year that we remember the greatest gift of all, the gift of your Son, Jesus Christ. I pray, dear Lord, that we might soften our hearts, that we might give your Son room, that he might reside within us, and of that ability to reside in us, that we might be a light into the world. We ask that your Spirit might preside over this service as we consider the love you have for all your creation, as we hear a joyful noise, that we might share in that good spirit of your love for us and our ability to love each other. Bless us in our endeavor this day to give you honor and praise, and let all be done to give you that glory. And we pray it in the name of thy Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.
This certainly is the season of giving. When our hearts are filled with joy, happiness, and that love that we are willing to share in this soon celebration of our Lord's birth. And in that spirit of giving, we also need to consider that giving not only to our church, but to those that stand in need. And this is a year-round obligation for us as servants of our Lord to be in that spirit of giving all throughout the year. And as we consider that precious gift that the Father has given us, I'd like to read a passage of very familiar scriptures to us all. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Would you bow with me for prayer? Gracious God, our Heavenly Father, we are truly, truly most thankful for that precious gift of your Son, that we can celebrate his birth on the morning. And Father, we just ask that our hearts might be open to your holy love as we would share our love with our family, with our friends, and with all those that stand in need. Father, we just thank thee for all your many gifts and blessings to us as your children. And we pray for that direction to be led into those homes that stand in need of your holy love and of the truthfulness of your gospel. And we pray these things in Jesus' most holy name. Amen.
Thank you.
If you listened to the invocation, our brother asked that we could find room in our hearts for this Jesus Christ, this Savior, who has come into the world to redeem us. And in the inspired version, as you're well aware, it's a tiny bit different than any other Bible that you have. And I'll read from the inspired version so that you know what our brother was talking about when he said that we should have room and make room in our hearts for this Jesus Christ. And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all his empire should be taxed. All the other Bibles say that the whole world would be taxed. Caesar Augustus was a very influential man, to say the least. But he couldn't tax the whole world, could he? This same taxing was when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. And all went to be taxed, every one in his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth unto Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife. She, this is the only Bible that has that word in the sentence, she, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger, because there was none to give room for them in the inns. All the other Bibles in the world said that there were no room. There was plenty of room. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in their field, keeping watch over their flocks by night. And lo, an angel of the Lord appeared unto them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. But the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this is the way you shall find the babe. He is wrapped in swaddling clothes and is lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly hosts praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill to men.
Thank you.
From 3 Nephi, chapter 1, you're very familiar with this, but it is very proper and fitting that we should share this again this morning. And it came to pass that in the commencement of the 92nd year, behold, the prophecies of the prophets began to be fulfilled more fully. For there began to be a greater signs and greater miracles wrought among the people. But there were some who began to say that the time was past for the words to be fulfilled which was spoken by Samuel the Lamanite. And they began to rejoice over their brethren, saying, behold, the time is past, and the words of Samuel are not fulfilled. Therefore your joy and your faith concerning this thing hath been vain. And it came to pass that they did make a great uproar throughout the land. And the people who believed began to be very sorrowful, lest by any means those things which had been spoken might not come to pass. But behold, they did watch steadfastly for that day and that night, and that day which should be as one day as if there were no night, that they might know that their faith had not been vain. Now it came to pass that there was a day set apart by the unbelievers, that all those who believed in those traditions should be put to death, except the sign should come to pass which had been given by Samuel the prophet. Now it came to pass that when Nephi, the son of Nephi, saw the wickedness of his people, his heart was exceeding sorrowful. And it came to pass that he went out and bowed himself down on the earth and cried mightily to his God in behalf of his people, yea, those who were about to be destroyed because of their faith and the traditions of their fathers. And it came to pass that he cried mightily unto the Lord all that day. And behold, the voice of the Lord came unto him, saying, lift up your head and be of good cheer, for behold, the time is at hand, and on this night shall the sign be given. And on the morrow come I into the world to show unto the world that I will fulfill all that which I have caused to be spoken by the mouth of my holy prophets. Behold, I come unto my own, to fulfill all things which I have made known unto the children of men from the foundation of the world, and to do the will both of the Father and of the Son. Of the Father because of me, and of the Son because of my flesh. And behold, the time is at hand, and this night shall the sign be given. And it came to pass that the words which came unto Nephi were fulfilled, according as they had been spoken. For behold, at the going down of the sun, there was no darkness. And the people began to be astonished, because there was no darkness when the night came. And there were many who had not believed the words of of the prophets fell to the earth and became as if they were dead. For they knew that the great plan of destruction, which they had laid for those who believed in the words of the prophets, had been frustrated. For the sign which had been given was already at hand, and they began to know that the Son of God must shortly appear. Yea, and find all the people upon the face of the whole earth, from the west to the east, both in the land north and in the land south, were so exceedingly astonished that they fell to the earth. For they knew that the prophets had testified of these things for many years, and that the sign which had been given was already at hand. And they began to fear because of their iniquity and their unbelief. And it came to pass that there was no darkness in all that night, but it was as light as though it was midday. And it came to pass that the sun did rise in the morning again, according to its proper order. And they knew that it was the day that the Lord should be born, because of the sign which had been given. And it came to pass, yea, all things, every whit, according to the words of the prophets. And it came to pass also that a new star did appear, according to the word. I've been making a study of recent past, of all the religions that have come to the earth when Jesus Christ was taken back home to sit on his throne with his Father next to him. And as I have considered these different religions, it's just amazing to know what we have. Because after Jesus Christ left, Jainism came in, and then Hinduism came in, and all the tenets that came with it, Buddhism, Shintoism, Taoism, Confucianism, all of the other isms have one thing in common. They have no Savior. You have a Savior. They don't believe in a Savior who has come to take upon himself the sins of man. Two-thirds of religions today claim that they don't need a Savior. The other one-third of the religions, which is called Christianity, as you well know, out of all of those reformers and the teachings of religion and philosophy and theology, even into this our day, 12% are the only ones in Christianity that believe in the virgin birth. That's amazing, brothers and sisters. We have a Savior, Jesus Christ. He came to die that you and I might live. They have no Godhead, therefore they have no principles of faith. You do. A little over a year ago, I was awakened. I've shared this before at testimony time. Whether it was a voice or just the thought, I don't know. But one thing I do know, it woke me up out of a sound sleep. And the message was conveyed to that you know what you have? That has stuck with me just about every day since. This Jesus Christ awaits you, awaits upon you and the decisions that you make in your heart to make room for Him. On behalf of the priesthood, we want to extend to you a very Merry Christmas. We hope that you truly will come to the knowledge that there is a Savior and He is ready and willing to bless you according to your faith. I want to present our brother Joe as our pastor. I feel that he wants to say something to you.
Thank you, Brother Steve. You know, I reflect upon this time of year, and as our Brother Steve has read about the account when Christ was born and came into this world. And you know, a little infant isn't a threat to anybody. But Jesus came into this world to not only save mankind, but to dispel those untruths that were abroad in the land, to dispel the untruths of these religions that have sprung up. And we have, brothers and sisters, today the fullness of the gospel of Jesus Christ that was restored again to the earth. Oh, we should praise Him for this and thank Him. And it's good, brothers and sisters, to be yoked up with you in the fullness of the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. I present Him to you this day, and I commend Him to you. And the testimony that I have is that He is my Savior. And He rose again. He has been resurrected. Body and spirit joined again. And He'll come again. This is the promise. The prophets have spoken of this. And He'll come again in power and in glory. Look for Him, saints, for that day is soon at hand.
Thank you.
Our Heavenly Father, Lord, in the name of Thy Son, Jesus Christ, we as a body of saints here in these last days, having come together to worship this day, we want to offer up unto Thee our thanks for the presence of Your Holy Spirit that has been here with us today. We have witnessed, Father, the great joy that comes with the singing of these hymns and anthems that proclaim the birth of Your Son and lift His name in joy on high. For indeed that is why we come, that we might offer our praise unto Thee, our Father, and we thank You so much that we have this Savior, our Lord Jesus Christ, that we can worship, that stands as a mediator of the new covenant and extends His hand to all of mankind that they might come unto Him and be saved. We thank You for this day. We pray a benediction and a blessing upon this hour and ask that this Spirit that we've felt here this morning might go into each of the homes, that there might be joy there, and that as we gather as friends and family for this holiday season, that we might indeed remember the reason in which we celebrate the birth of Your Son, who is Christ Jesus. Thank You for hearing this prayer and for blessing us this day. Our Father, we ask all these things in His name, that of Jesus Christ. Amen.